views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to experience the truth. Welcome to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Truth Talk Radio is the hit show that will illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. Unleash your intuitive nature while Deb helps you stop looking outside yourself for value and happiness, break through patterns, and move into your authentic truth at lightning speed. Truth Talk Radio will leave you feeling lighter, help you live with more presence, passion, and clarity, and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Now, here's your host, Deb Acker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deb Acker, and you are listening to Truth Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hour as I help you experience the truth, nothing but the truth. Each month on the first and third Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'll be talking about the most recent energies coming through and interviewing some of the most gifted, inspiring, and unique souls, speakers, and authors, all to help you to move into more light, love, and of course, truth. And before we get started, I'd like to start out today's show with an intention. And my intention for today's show is that everyone that needs to hear this conversation hears it, and that you leave feeling expansive, inspired, and abundant with new awarenesses and clarity, ready to take action. And with that, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Jennifer Longmore. Jennifer is a North America's Soul Purpose expert. She's an internationally acclaimed host of Soul Purpose Central and three-time best-selling author. And she's also the creator of the popular Spiritual Leadership and Legacy Program for Entrepreneurs and the Heal Your Money Story Intensive. For over 15 years, she has been helping people remember who they really are and clear the issues out of their money tissues through over 30,000 Soul Purpose sessions, including the who's who of actors, professional athletes, CEOs of leading companies, and other influential luminaries. She's acquired more than $20 million in real estate assets last year and runs several successful companies as a healy-feely woo-woo person. And having conducted over 30,000 Soul Purpose sessions over the years, she has a consistent pattern with people from all walks of life as to what holds them back in thriving in their potential and creating the life of their dreams. And the thing that she has seen has been money. And she's also come to learn that it's never about the money. It is really about something much, much deeper. And so I am so excited to be talking to her about what really is holding us back from from really receiving the abundance in our life that we so deserve. And I'm so excited to welcome her to the show today. Welcome, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited to have you here today, and I'm so excited to share your message with my listeners. I would love to hear more. You know, I know you have a really interesting story. I'd love to hear more about your journey and when your journey started and how you got on this path.
Well, it's a long and windy road. Just kidding. Just with respect to money, I remember counting my dad's change when he would come home from work, and it was usually pennies and nickels and dimes, but I just had this need to be touching money all the time. I had a Fisher Price cash register that I used to play with all the time, and I was really fascinated with the energy of money. And it might have been because my parents were always talking about how they didn't have it and how hard they were working for something, and I would think, why are you working so hard for something that is so hard to attract and to keep? And of course, they would always talk about the non-existent money tree in the backyard and, you know, all the things that many of us are used to hearing. So that was my thing with money. And it wasn't until I started talking more about money that I had all of these flashbacks, right? Almost like deja vu, where I realized there were so many seeds being planted around me starting to have this conversation that I just didn't pay attention to. Even when I left my JOB, which stands for just over broke, I was working as a forensic investigator. And it really is, right? Like, think about it. No matter how much money you get paid in a JOB, you just never seem to have enough to get by. And I was getting approached by financial companies, right, to be a financial advisor. I was getting headhunted for that. Now, I know that that's not unusual. It can happen a lot. But I just thought, why are they approaching me? What do I know about money? And like, I'm not going to be able to, that doesn't feel good to go and advise people on what to do with their money. And it still doesn't, by the way. I would never, you know, advise people what to do because I believe that people should use their intuition. And that's the other side of my background is that I grew up as a multi-generational intuitive and my grandfather used to solve crimes with the police as a psychic medium. So I was going for past life regressions and reading all kinds of crazy deep spiritual books when I was a really young kid, doing a lot of astral travel and so on. And then I went to school and realized, oh, this isn't how people speak. I better dull my light. I better try to figure out how to be in the world that isn't me, right? How to be anyone else but me in order to fit in so that I don't have to feel so uncomfortable and I don't have to make other people feel so uncomfortable with my knowingness. And that didn't really work very well. So by the time I got into my late teens, I realized that me trying to work against who I was naturally wasn't working, so I might as well lean into it. And that's when I started really playing a lot more with crystals and tarot cards and going for drumming circles. And I actually got my Reiki mastery when I was in my early 20s. So I have this mix of me having the very logical side, and then I have all of the healy-feely woo-woo stuff that you mentioned when you were first introducing me.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, it's interesting, right? Cause so much, like we are very much conditioned to like be, it's like, okay, we go through life, we get in the 9 to 5. And I've never heard the acronym just over broke. So I love that acronym for describing kind of this corporate world, right? That like our conditioning to kind of go in and just get into the energy or the patterning of struggling. Right? It's like we just attach to that idea of like, we're just going to get by. And that's what life is, right? It's just getting by. And, you know, it's like, even when you get into six figures, just like what you're talking about, like I was working in medical sales for quite some time before, you know, I made my transition over and announced that I'm a woo-woo person too. But, you know, it's one of those things like we're so easy just kind of just to buy into the reality that life is going to be that hard. And so I want to ask you what, like, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about the five, you know, the massive money blocks, but what do you think is a key to starting to make that transition in your mindset and transition in the way that you feel from, you know, just struggling and just getting by to, you know, this land of abundance that's actually our true truth, but we're just not that tuned into it?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. There's so many things that we can do, and part of it can just be having fun figuring out what works for us and what doesn't. It's a journey as well. Like, I still journal every single day about the ideal life that I want to have. I still journal in gratitude for what I have and also for the things that I want that I know are on their way. I journal about what, you know, funny money blocks I have, cute little things that I find myself doing, and just allow money to be my healer. But there's a lot of different things. One is to study people that are already successful. Like, Tony Robbins isn't where he is because he's frumpy and moaning and groaning and complaining. He's focusing, it takes just as much energy to moan and complain and groan as it does to be positive and speak in a certain way.
Yeah.
And to focus on what's working and what will work. And he has a lot of money. I don't know how much money he has, but he has multiple channels of income. And that didn't just happen overnight. I don't even know much about Tony, by the way, and I have never studied him. I haven't read a book by him. But I obviously know enough about him that I can say, yeah, that's a great example. Or Richard Branson, or Sarah Blakely, or, I don't know, Tory Burch, like whoever. There's successful men and women out there, sadly more men than women, but there's still successful people out there that have carved a path. And if we read any books around how people got wealthy, there's certain patterns that all of them have adopted, even though they don't know each other, to help us understand, well, what does it take to get there? And it's not as hard as it thinks. And most of it's mindset, just the same with business. It's mostly mindset and the rest is just action. So that's one thing, the journaling, making sure our energy is high. You know, if we want to call in $10,000 a month, $10,000 a month vibrates at a very different frequency than $1,000 a month. if we're going to show up in the world with a $1,000 a month frequency, and by that I mean moaning, complaining, playing the victim, being in servitude, being a martyr, you know, any of those lower frequencies, then we can't expect to either attract $10,000 and or keep $10,000 a month, right? So who do we need to be in order to call in $10,000 a month consistently, or 20 or 30 or whatever? And
yeah.
It's, again, less about what we do, and it's more about what we be, right? The vibration of what we're being. This is true even for love, right? If we want to call in our ideal life partner, then we have to vibrate at the same frequencies that we expect them to be vibrating at. It's just how the universe works, right? There's no way around it. It's all energy. So those are some practical things, but we also need to understand what is keeping me at bay. Like, what is, why is money evading me? Why do I feel like I can almost touch it with my fingertips, but not quite?
Yeah. So what's an example, like, of, you know, what that looks like in the, you know, obviously in the everyday physical world?
Well, I, as you mentioned, have done over 30,000 sessions. And the reason why the money programs were born, because I never planned on ever talking about money. This was just not part of it. I was just going to keep doing Akashic readings and teaching Akashic Records certification classes, and everything would be hunky-dory. But what would happen is people kept saying to me, what's my purpose? And I'd say, you've come for 10 million sessions now. Like, what do you mean, what's my purpose? And I realized, oh, there's a big difference between knowing our purpose and living our purpose. So what was preventing people from living their purpose? And 9 times out of 10, people were saying to me, I don't have the money, or I don't have enough money. And I realized, okay, it can't really be about money. Why are we making it about money? What's really going on here? And I learned that there are some major blocks that keep us from allowing money in. One of them is we put our dreams on hold. That's one way of knowing that we've got a money block. I'd love to travel the world, but I don't have the money. I'd love to start a business, but I don't have the money. I'd love to release 20 pounds, but I don't have the money. I'd love to, you know, fill in the blank. That's one of the things we do, and money's a very easy scapegoat because everyone uses it. It's just a socially accepted thing to do, so it's an easy enough thing to throw out there and have people go, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, right. Of course you can't have that. You don't have the money. It just allows us to fit in a little better. The other thing we do is we stay stuck in situations that don't serve us, because we say we don't have the money. We either stay in crappy relationships because we're too afraid to leave. We buy into the illusion that the relationship is giving us the safety net we need. Or we're waiting to get paid back and make money back from a relationship we might have put a lot of money into. And I see this a lot with women, and especially staying in abusive situations, right? I know it's more complex than just the money. But so many people get trapped in either relationships or jobs, feeling like they don't have any other choice but to stay somewhere that's really draining their energy. And that's not a nice feeling. We all know that feeling, right, where we feel trapped and the only thing standing between us and our freedom is the money, and that's simply not true, right? We're acting like we're in jail, and the only key to unlocking us from this prison is money. And if that were true, right, then more and more people would be living their life.
Yeah, no, and that's like a really important point, right? Because where do you give money the power? Like, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, if, at the end of your time here, it's like if you're laying on your deathbed and you haven't pursued the dreams that you want, or you haven't gone after the desires you want, are you going to be like laying there going, well, it was money's fault? Like, you know,
yeah.
it's, I mean, like, seriously. So it's like, it's one of those things that, you know, I love what you're saying. It's so important to start to, you know, to start to shift that story and start to like take control and take power of your own life and recognize, mm-hmm. you know, like I know for me and the people that I work with, like a key to the transformation is like being ready to do whatever it takes, you know, to step into that, right? To own, to say like, I am ready no matter what it takes to own my dreams and own my desires. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, when you're ready, right? And then you're ready, you find the way to, you know, call the money. And if you're in a space where you're not, you know, the money isn't already there. So how do you know there's this, mm-hmm. there's like a separation that we can end up creating with money, right? You know, there's this way that we kind of keep it separate. So how do we bring it into the oneness, right? But how do we stop creating this space that's like money, I'm not money, or, you know, I'm not abundance, like all the versions that we play out where we create that separation?
Yeah. Well, it's really simple. We know that there's an infinite universe. We as human beings are created as extensions of that infinite universe. So we hold the same DNA as the universe, right? And then money is also a creation in the universe. So it holds the same DNA as well. We're just as all humans are only like 1/1,000,000,000th of a degree of separation, right? And difference. The same would be true for money. We're all ultimately holding the same universal imprints, right? We are way more familiar with money than we realize. We come from the same source, so we have way more in common than we don't. To buy into the illusion that we don't understand money is just not true. It's a total illusion, because we can tune into the divine mind that tells us exactly who we are as human beings and what our purpose is. We can tune into the divine mind and understand what the purpose of money is and the frequency and the language of money to call more of it in. And whether or not folks that are wealthy would be able to articulate it in that way, for those of us that work with energy, we know that whatever we want to create has already been created. The imprint of how to create it, the actual three-dimensional imprint and blueprint, has already been stamped into the divine mind. It's up to us to give ourselves permission to tap into it.
Yeah.
So we are already connected with it. We're not separate from that wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what are your recommendations and how we open to, you know, because like you said, exactly, we've got it, we've got the imprint, right? We know the feeling, mm-hmm. We may have shut it off, but so how do we start to remember that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still going deeper into why, like, how are my money patterns showing up, right? We have to understand why we're creating what we do, because otherwise we make ourselves wrong for it. So, for example, another cute little thing that we do as human beings, because we're so darn cute and it's our job to be cute, is we do all kinds of things that are misdirected and misapplied understandings of our purpose. One of the things we do as humans is we, for example, get into relationships to fix people when we really just want to, quote unquote, fix ourselves. Or we gain weight because then we make it our misdirected purpose to release weight. With money, we create debt so that we have a misdirected purpose of digging ourselves out of debt. Until we fully live our purpose, then we keep finding misdirected ways to feel purposeful and to give ourselves a sense of purpose.
So how do we, you know, get back, for lack of a better way to say that, how do we return back or get back on purpose, right? How do we take ourselves away from these, you know, these misguided, these misdirected purposes and return us to the truth of our true purpose versus mm-hmm. these, you know, diversions?
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of, I mean, one of the things you're asking right now is you're wanting to go right into the logical step, right? And go into the, okay, well, what do I need to do? We don't need to do anything. We need to be. Part of our problem is we're creating all kinds of busy work and we're focusing on the do, and how do I fix this? When our biggest problem is we keep focusing on how do I fix myself? We're suffering from a really bad case of the too muches and not enoughs, and we keep trying to fix the too muches and not enoughs. I'm too fat, I'm too stressed, I'm too worried, I'm too whatever, I'm not smart enough, I'm not qualified enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not beautiful enough, whatever those are. We keep focusing our energy on that. We get into the energy continuum of poverty consciousness. That's what that is, right? The lacks and the too muches. That's all part of poverty consciousness. As long as we're hanging out in that vibration and that continuum of energy and creating that polarity, we're going to keep creating debt, right? Energetic debt. So when we focus on what's already right with us, and I say right loosely because there's no real thing as right or wrong, when we focus on where we already are whole and where we are more than enough and we really accept our wholeness and our greatness, it's a lot easier to see ourselves in a different light. A lot of people know their purpose, right? It's easy enough actually to find our purpose. Even if we just follow our passion, we'll eventually find our purpose. We can go into our Akashic records to find our purpose. We can go see an intuitive guide. We can read all kinds of books. Finding our purpose is not the issue. In fact, I would encourage people not to find your purpose, because that puts you in the searching mode, and searching in the future makes you vulnerable to the what ifs, because you're heading into unknown territory, and the unknown can create anxiety, right, and create fear. So when we're finding our purpose, instead of just letting our purpose unfold, it creates a different energy. But all of that to say, we can find our purpose, right? We can uncover our purpose. It's a matter of, now that I know it, am I willing to live it? And how am I willing to live it? And how am I willing to allow money, even if I'm not money-driven, to be a part of that dream team and allowing my purpose to fully actualize in this lifetime?
Yeah.
So when we, and the two things I see, especially with entrepreneurs, and most of the folks I coach are entrepreneurs, the two ways that I see people really blocking money is through visibility, right? The more visible they become, the more money they make, because they're typically serving more people. So they cut off ways to be more visible and be seen, because at the core of that is, I'm not enough, right? And people are going to determine that I'm not enough, and how am I going to deal with people projecting I'm not enough onto me? And then the second piece is, I just lost my train of thought. I'll have to backtrack. Oh, how much life we're letting in. So the degree of money that we have is determined by how much life we're willing to let in, because the universe keeps supplying us with more. The more we're willing to let life in, experience life, share life, contribute to life, let life contribute to us. Doesn't mean we have to have billions of dollars. And in fact, we don't even have to have a lot of money. The goal is to just be at peace with what we do have and to be at peace with letting more in. And if we can allow money to be a part of our dream team and allow money to be a contribution to our purpose, allow money to be a contribution to the causes we're passionate about, then there's a lot more flow, as opposed to continually focusing our energy on how come it's not showing up or how come it's not showing up quickly enough.
Yeah, well, and I, like, one thing, like, it's like seeing the abundance in everything, right? Because we tend to get focused on, you know, I always think it's like we tend to get focused on, you know, money having meaning, but we're the ones who said, okay, this paper thing with the, you know, with president's faces on it is money, right? I mean, we could have easily defined leaves as money, and then literally it would have been money growing on trees, right? So it's like, it's about, it's about really giving, you know, seeing the abundance, like, just like we were saying, putting gratitude on the day, but seeing the abundance in everything, because it's always there, but it's like, we're not, you know, we're so focused on it, it's only, if it's only in one spot. Well, and it's interesting, because you're talking about, like, being, you know, it's like the things that sort of like when we go into the future, and then there's anxiety in the future. And it's like, when we live in the present moment, that's when, you know, when there's no anxiety, right? Because in the present moment, our truth is like, we're not being attacked. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing coming at us. And so that present moment is where that peace, that calm, you know, the abundance that we're talking about, where all of that lives. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I really want to dive into, and we've got a few minutes before we go to break here, but I really want to just dive into a little bit further. So what other ways do you see people blocking themselves from just that truth, from owning that truth, from being, like you're saying, being in that truth, right? You know, there is that habit. Like, I love that you said, you know, the pattern of like, what do I need to do to attract money? You know, because that's human conditioning, right? It's like, even though we're called human beings, we're most people show up from that human doing state. So how do we start to really bring that energy in so we just embody it? Like, is there an activation that comes to mind? Is there something that, you know, like a small little just energy that like our word, you know, I don't know, just what comes up for you around that?
Yeah. Well, we can embody whatever energy we choose, right? We just literally become that vibration. So just as we can become the energy of anger, we can become the energy of joy. Just as we can become the energy of depression, we can become the energy of ease and flow. Right? I'm just making that up on the spot.
Yeah.
So if we want to call in more abundance, we can simply embody the vibration of abundance just by intention, because energy always follows intent. We as human beings think there has to be a 27-point formula for, you know, doing that. It's literally just intention. It's that simple. The reason why we struggle is because we've decided that making money needs to be hard, that embodying a new mindset needs to be hard. This is what keeps money from us, is believing everything about money, the doing and the being of it, needs to be hard. When we understand it literally takes a nanosecond to embody a new vibration and literally hold it in our body and vibrate it out, then it can be felt, right? So we can embody the vibration of $1 million if we want to. Most people don't think to because they're focused more on the doing than the being.
Right. Well, and there's more of that focus on, like, you know, just, it's like almost like we get trained in that scarcity consciousness where we're trained in the, like, I want to bring in $1,000 versus like thinking like, oh, $1 million, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, it's like we just get trained to think in these small amounts versus like, it's just as easy to think about $1,000 as it is to think about $1 million. It doesn't require any more, you know, any more time or any more, you know, mind work or brain, you know, heavy brain thinking. So for someone though, that we're, you know, like, that feels like that $1 million is out of reach, or sort of, it just feels like it's like, I don't even want to say it like this because it's so within the energy, but it's like, I'm just reading the energy of the audience, but it's like, it's too big or it's too much to try to bring in, you know, where do we start with that?
Well, you look at the number that you're bored with making, right? That just feels like, oh, I'm so done with this. This number is so boring now of what you make a month. And even if it's $500 a month, then let's start embodying the energy of, say, $2,000 a month. And then when that energy becomes boring, then we embody $5,000 a month. And we just keep going to allow our energy field to become familiar with the frequency, because we're way more likely, just as human beings, to let in a familiar energy than we are to let in a stranger, right? So the more that vibration feels familiar to us, the more we recognize it, the more we raise everything about us to match the frequency of, say, $5,000 a month, the more that everything shows up that matches that, not just the money, but the people, the mindset, the opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Well, my life is very different having acquired $20 million in real estate assets than when I didn't have that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love that because it's like we can, you know, we can make friends with our money. So we're actually going to take a quick break here, but I want to continue that conversation because I think that that's so important to really start to recognize, like, how you treat your money and just bringing, you know, just recognizing it's like we're in relationship with money, just like we're in relationship with the people in our life. So we are going to take a quick break here. You are listening to Truth Talk, and I am your host, Deb Acker. When we return, we are going to explore more with money. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/global foundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
We're back on Truth Talk. I'm your host, Deb Acker, and my guest today is Jennifer Longmore, and we are talking about identifying and shifting our money blocks. Before we continue, Jennifer, can you give your give our listeners the link to begin healing their money story?
Well, I guess if people go to my website, they can get in touch with me that way or find me on Facebook. I have a group called The Purpose Posse, and I've done some free money challenges in there. So I don't have the specific link for the money gift, but if people want to find me that way, then certainly they can have access to that.
Yeah, and the link just for our listeners is just www.souljourneys.ca/money. So it's pretty simple, just souljourneys.ca/money.
There you go.
Perfect, perfect. And so before the break, we were talking about really being in relationship with money and how you're treating your money. And, you know, again, that separation that we cause and treating it like a stranger. And I would love to just dive deeper into that. How do we begin to really love our money and really build that relationship with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we first need to understand why we're not loving it and why we're not loving it in. We have four major fears that we use to keep money away. Of course, we don't come out of the womb with those fears. We may bring some stuff in from past lifetimes around the money, but it's what we've learned, right, about money, either from our parents and what we observe from them or what they've told us, what we observe from society. One of the fears we have is the fear of power, and we associate money with power. Money actually isn't power. Money is influence, right? Money buys us a seat at the table to have influence in different things that are going on. We also see how that's used against us, like, you know, buying a seat at the table to determine whether there's going to be a war over oil and that kind of stuff, right? But ultimately, money is influence. We can do a lot of influential things with it, and that's also why I make it my purpose now to help raise the consciousness of wealth on the planet. Because the more we can get money into the hands of people that want to do great things with it, the more we can shift mass consciousness to move away from using wars as a way to control and to get more money. Then we can actually create socially responsible companies and so on that, you know, have way more impact and way more positive impact. But we fear power, and if we associate money with power, why would we let it in? We're either afraid of our own power and being in our own power, or we're afraid of other people using power against us, either because it's happened or because we're afraid it's going to happen. If money is a representation of power, just as, let's say, I don't know, strawberries were a reflection of power, we wouldn't let it in. Why would we? That would make no sense to let it in. So when we understand that money is not actually power, we can let that belief go. The second fear that we have is that we're going to be taken down, right? We're going to suffer from the tall poppy syndrome, which is I can't grow taller than all the other poppies in the field, because when the scissors come out to chop down the poppies, I'm going to be the first one to be chopped down. We see that in the media. We see that with celebrity. We love to chop celebrities down that are doing really well and are on top of their game. And then we love to build them back up once they've had a collapse, right? We saw that with Britney Spears, for example. I don't know that she's ever really recovered from the whole head shaving incident, but certainly a lot of people wanted to be on her side, but were happy to bash her when she was on top and really, you know, thriving. So we see that in society all the time. And when we have more money than what we need, which is often why we say, oh, I only need enough to get by, or I only need enough to get by and have one trip a year. When we have more than we need, when we're on our game, when everything's going well, we are already waiting for someone to come and chop us down. So we live the good enough path. We let just enough in to be comfortable, but not more than we need so that we don't stand out and risk being attacked by other people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so common, especially, you know, for healers and, you know, for people that are feeling called to really, like, you know, help heal and mask, like, the whole consciousness thing, to be scared of, you know, like you said, to really dull ourselves and to not step into our true power and not step into who we truly came here to be in, you know, in this world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and noticing what role money plays as you're stepping into more of you, right? As you're choosing more, as you're choosing to show up in a bigger way, and as you're choosing to be seen more, you know, what does that look like as you're, you know, how do you feel about more money coming in? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of, so you said that, I believe that was number two. What are the other two, ways yeah. that, yeah.
The other one is speed. We're afraid of speed. We view speed as risky. Money, creates speed in our life, right? It makes things happen. And if we make things happen too quickly, we don't know if we can handle it all. We don't know if we're responsible enough, and we don't know if we're going to be in danger of speed, right? If we think of driving too quickly, we can either view that as exhilarating and embrace it and learn how to navigate it, or we can view it as a danger and something that could kill us. And we do the same thing with money. We want everything to happen yesterday, but we block money from making everything happen from yesterday. So we live in this double-edged sword, right? And speak out of both sides of our mouth. Money, as you mentioned before, is just a neutral energy. It only becomes what we project onto it. Money loves speed, and the more we allow money to speed things up, the more it will show up. When people really learn to harness that energy, things flow, but as long as they're afraid of speed, it can't show up. It's just the way that it is. And that kind of ties in with things like, how much good can I handle? Sometimes we're afraid of really great things showing up because we're already expecting it to disappear, either because an unexpected bill is going to come in, or someone's going to promise us something and then take it away, or someone's going to steal something from us, or we're going to let it in and someone's going to have their hand out, like a family member, right? Well, you've got $10 million. Why can't I have a million of it? You've got more than enough, you know, that kind of
stuff.
But it's all tied into money makes things happen, and it makes things happen quickly if we allow it to happen quickly. So can we handle the flow of that? Can we handle things being easy and flowing? And can we release the belief that things need to be hard for the sake of being hard, and that we have to work hard for our money, and the only legitimate way to be deserving of money is if we've worked hard for it?
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because as you're talking about the speed, what comes up for me is this, these ways that we want to feel safe, right? These ways that we try to play it safe in our world. And it's like, if something is too quick, we feel like we're not in control. Is an illusion anyways, but it's like we feel like we're not in control, right? We feel like we're like trying to have control, but if it's coming in so quick, or if it's too fast, it's a way that we can feel out of control. And so it's just important to notice, like, for, you know, for everyone that's listening, it's like, where are you playing it safe? Like, where are you stopping yourself from having everything that you are meant to have in this lifetime? Because, you know, you're trying to have control. You're trying to play it safe. You're too scared of it coming in, you know, quick, or it happening too quickly. So no, I love that I love that you bring that up. I think that that's such an important piece of how we play in this paradigm, right? Like we've just been taught, like, it's like, okay, I'm going to create this box of safety, and it's all illusionary anyways. So it's like, but it's interesting to notice, like, okay, I'm in my safe box, you know, and it's like, and it's like, if that box comes like crashing down, then it's like, you're still safe. Like, there's no way, you know, the way not, quote unquote, not to be safe, of course, you know, at least not when you really look at it in the scale again of our, you know, outside of our, quote unquote, human being, right? So, I love that. So what is the fourth one then?
The fourth one is that we have a fear that we're not worthy. right? At the core of who we are, we're rotten. We don't matter. We don't have any business taking up space on the planet. We're a burden to others. We're a burden to the planet. We're just not worthy. And we're not worthy of anything on this planet, including abundance and wealth, right? And the same is true for love and so on. So when someone, so the degree to which someone believes they're unworthy will be the degree to which someone doesn't have money, right? People can still have a belief that they're not worthy and have money, but they could have more money if they cleared even more of that belief. So if someone's a 10 out of 10 as far as believing they're not worthy, they're probably not going to have very much.
Yeah.
And that's a belief I feel that all of us need to work on, because we're receiving so many subliminal programs. Every time you get in your car, you're driving past a billboard that says, hey, you're not enough until you own this purse. You're not enough until you own a pair of shoes that has red on the bottom of the heels. You're not enough until you own this type of vehicle, or until you buy this, or until you do such and such, right? So we're constantly getting bombarded with messages and not even realizing how much we're being bombarded with it, which is why it's important to your show, right, to always be aligned to the truth. What is the truth? What is my awareness telling me? What is the divine truth on this particular matter? When I do work with people, I talk a lot about, okay, well, let's align you. Let's clear out any illusions that are not in alignment with the divine truth of money, and let's align you with the vibration of the divine truth. Well, I'm not telling people what the truth is. I'm letting them feel into the vibration of it and bringing it into their body, because that's way more pure than me saying, well, this is money.
Yeah.
Well, that might be my truth, and it may be the truth for a lot of people, but let's just be restoring ourselves to the truth of what really is. Because so much of what we experience on this planet is, you know, interference on some level from beings that are maybe not of the purest and highest light, or just, like I said, subliminal programs, transgenerational patterning, vows from other lifetimes, just illusions in general. And the more we can give ourselves permission to restore the truth of who we really are and the structures that we have on this planet to work with to bring even more of who we are onto the planet, the more free we're going to be, the more flow we're going to be in, and money is just a part of that flow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's so important because, like, you know, for everyone just to notice, like, where do you look outside of yourself for that, you know, for that value, right? For that happiness. It's like, you know, you brought up the conditioning. It's like, we're kind of always, we're so conditioned to go, what's next? What's next? And like thinking that there is some sort of end point when we're really on just the, you know, this continuum, right? And the, it's like our timeline and our physical body is one thing, but it's like our life in the state of being, right? Our soul continues to live on, whether we're in, you know, I'm in my physical body as Deb Acker, you know, you're in your physical body, or, you know, you're just in your soul lives on. It's like, we're timeless, right? And so there is no end point, but we can get so conditioned to keep searching and keep getting to that next thing. And that thing just ends up, if you feel it in your body, even right now, it feels very heavy because again, it feels like it's like, oh, it's outside of me. It's like, I don't really have control over that. And it's like, that's not, you know, that's not true at all. I want to ask you, so I know you mentioned like when your money stuff comes up, right? And as you're working that, we're all coaches, right? So we're all, you know, we keep going towards more, right? We keep expanding as souls. So what does it look like, you know, when something comes up for you, what does that look like? What does your process look like?
What does my what look like?
Oh, your process of like how you, like you said, you know, you had said when you're, I think you mentioned, use the word like cute, you know, your cute stuff is like coming up. And I'm just curious to hear like, what what does that look like when you're working with it, right? Because we're humans, we're going through the human experience. And part of our job as coaches, we just keep leaning into more and more and more. And so, you know, I'm just curious what that looks like for, as you're playing with it and expanding it to more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to look different for different people, right? How it shows up for me isn't necessarily how it's going to show up for other people.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, if someone's got some money nigglies before they really realize that they've got money nigglies, they're going to, like for me, I get irritated. I just instantly start getting irritated and jumpy. So I just closed on my most recent real estate transaction, and people were just annoying to deal with. I'm hiring all these people that it's not their first rodeo. They specialize in real estate law. They specialize in real estate insurance and all these things I have to put in place. And they act like, it's their first time doing it, and I'm coaching them on doing stuff that I'm paying them to know how to do, right? That's not okay with me. It really pisses me off, and I address it. But it's not really about them. It's about the fact that, oh, my God, you know, there's still that underlying program of what if this doesn't work out, or what if it all implodes, or what if this, you know, goes sideways and I end up in a cardboard box. That's one of the fears that we have, right, is I'm going to end up being the bag lady and living under a bridge. So knowing that the irritation now is my sign that, oh, I'm getting stretched money-wise, I instantly go to my journal. For some people, they go and spend more money because they're spending the very thing they're afraid of losing. For other people, they create busy work, and they just go and busy themselves with other people's problems, or they busy themselves with chores, just any kind of distraction from dealing with what is actually going on. So the quickest way to move through something is to get into our journal, right? Or like do something where we're going introspective and saying, okay, what's really going on here? Some people will go to food. For me, when I go into my journal, I instantly write a letter to money. And this is a big tip for everyone. And people think it's corny, but it works. Because money is a neutral energy, but we make it something that it's not. And we're in relationship with money, which means we're projecting a relationship onto it that we're unconscious of. So for a while, I was projecting my relationship with my dad onto money. That's how I first discovered this exercise. And I realized that money was there for me, but I didn't really feel like it was there for me. It would provide for me, but I felt like it was really emotionally distant. Very common pattern for dads of my generation, right, to be there and be providers, but not be emotionally available. And so I would write a letter to money, you know, yeah, what, money, I'm asking you to be around. I don't really feel like you're there for me. And then I would start to go, oh, my goodness, this reminds me of my dad. So then I would kind of let my dad, so to speak, have it, right, and money. Mm-hmm. It's okay to tell money off if you're relating to it as a person, which you are. You just won't realize it. And then I would instantly go into, okay, well, this is how I feel right now. This is the type of relationship I want to have with you going forward. So, for example, I might say, you know, I want to have a lifetime relationship with you that is based on growing together, having fun together, being a contribution to the planet. I want to let you in. I want to get out of the way so that you can provide for me because I know you want to. I know you only want good things for me. I know you want to cheerlead for me. And I would just go into this big, long dialogue. And then all of a sudden, the energy changes because I've changed the story. The brain doesn't know the difference between what has happened and what we want to have happen, right? As long as we feel it, the brain thinks it's actually happening.
Yeah.
So when we can start writing to money about what we do want to have with it, then it starts to show up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that that's so crucial, right? Because I think just like, you know, I love the process that you go through, because like what I'll say is like, you know, anytime a moment has like our moments from childhood have so much energy on them. Right. And so if we don't actually give those moments, we didn't have the voice when we were kids. Right. Because it's like we just didn't have the consciousness. I mean, there was for a gazillion reasons we don't have that voice. So if you can now take the time to have the voice that you didn't get to have when you were a kid around those hurts that keep you attracting a certain situation, in this situation with money, then all of a sudden you take the energy off of that initial moment. And then all of a sudden you have the ability to, you know, then you clear the energy, right? You shift the energy and it feels differently. And then you have the ability to bring in more, to call in more in this situation, to call in more love and more abundance. So, no, I think that that's like such a, you know, such a beautiful thing. What other tips and tricks do you,
The other thing I like to do is write out a list of all the areas that I don't have money. Like, I don't have enough money to. And it can be really lofty in things like, I don't have enough money to buy a private jet. I don't want a private jet, but I might put that in there. And I want that list to be really long. For some people, it's going to be long because it's true, right? I don't have enough money to buy groceries this month. I don't have enough money to pay my rent. I don't have enough money to whatever. When you see the heaviness and the weight of that list, it's a lot easier to shift it because you realize, oh my God, like, what must I be believing right now that I don't have enough money? And even if you do have enough money, but you're feeling like you don't have enough to go to that next level, it's important to see it on paper because you can't deal with what you don't acknowledge. But it's also important to go, okay, well, this isn't true. We all have the capacity to make money. We all actually know how to make money. We really do. even if it means offering to babysit for someone or cut someone's grass or shovel someone's snow or whatever, right? We can all make extra cash. That's not the issue. We can still make extra cash, and then it disappears if we don't have a belief that we can keep it. So as soon as we get clear on, well, where do I not have enough money to? Where do I not have enough time to? Where do I not have enough energy to? And then where else am I lacking? I'm not, you know, pretty enough to do videos. I'm not thin enough to do speaking gigs. I use these things because I hear it all the time from clients. I'm not whatever enough to fill in the blank. When we really start to become aware of how much we're energizing lack, then we can start writing the opposite, right? We can start turning those into positive affirmations.
Yeah, no,
of course I'm going to have 5 speaking gigs this year because, you know, I'm wise and I have a lot to say and people have a lot of, you know, are going to get a lot of benefit out of what I have to say as opposed to making about our looks. What do looks have to do with imparting wisdom? But we're cute and we trick ourselves into buying into the illusions in society that somehow we have to look like a beauty queen to talk about business. Like, on what planet are we only qualified to talk about business if we're a beauty queen? It makes no sense, right? That's not the qualification. I don't care if someone's pretty or handsome. I want to know they know how to coach me on business.
Well, and
so anyway, can we get clear on...
I was going to say even beauty queens don't. I was going to say even beauty queens don't look like beauty queens. So, like,
yeah,
let's, you
exactly,
know.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's
go
like
ahead.
That meme on Facebook.
Ahead.
How to have a bikini ready body? Go get a bikini, put it on your body. You have a bikini ready body.
Exactly. Sorry.
But anyways, when we get clear on how much lack there is, and we really see it, and we feel the heaviness of it, then we can start writing out all the reasons why it's not true, and we can start flipping those statements into positive affirmations. You know, I have more than enough money to purchase what I choose. I have more than enough time to accomplish what I desire in a day. I have more than enough energy to run a business and have a social life and a love life. I'm just making this up, right? But the more we get focused on what we do want, because energy, again, will always go to what we focus on. If we keep focusing on what we're lacking, even if we're not fully aware of it, we'll continue to experience lack. If we really start consciously creating, we're always creating, but if we start consciously creating what we do want, then it starts to show up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and I think it's important, too, when you're talking about lack, and I this is a really... a common consciousness way that we look at things. When we're, you know, when we feel like we don't have enough money but we're wanting something, so many times we look to take something away from our life. Like, okay, I'm not going to go to whatever spa treatments or some version of that. And so, you know, it's important to look at instead of that, like, where can you add something to bring in more, you know, and more money and bring in more abundance? It's like you get more of what you focus on. So if you're looking at taking away, you're going to just attract more of that. You know, like you said, the lack mentality, that lack, you know, energy versus like, okay, you know, looking at like, for instance, what skill sets you have to bring in more money that way, for instance, right? But, or looking at like, oh, I can sell something and I can bring in more money that way. You know, there's a gazillion ways that you can start to bring money in versus like, I've got to take something away from my life. When, especially if it's something you enjoy, the universe wants you to have everything that you enjoy and more. And so I think that that's so, you know, just such an important piece. So we are getting ready to wrap up here, but if there's anything that you could leave, you know, you give so much great information today, but if there's anything that, you know, any final thoughts, anything that you would like to leave our audience with?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before around the divine mind. Like, everything's already been created. There's enough millionaires on the planet now that it's been imprinted in the divine mind around how to create $1 million, how to attract it, how to create it, how to generate it, whatever. So the more we can make use of information that's already available to us and just call it in and just tune into it. People are saying, well, how do I tune into the divine mind? Just ask, hey, divine mind, how do I create $1 million? Doesn't mean you're going to get the blueprint right away, but it means that you're going to start getting signs and signals and so on, maybe introduced to the right person or being inspired to write out a new program or try a new money channel. That's how I got into real estate. That's how I got into the stock market. That's how I got into residual income streams, is these things which just presented themselves when I would ask the question. So I would say live in the question. You know, how can I call in more money? Don't feel the need to answer it. Your human brain isn't going to be able to answer it. because we only use a small percentage of it, right? Allow the universe to start bringing you answers to the question of how can I call in, you know, $10,000 a month? Then let that stuff appear.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important, because with the question, you're just putting the possibility out there. And then, like you said, you allow the universe to say, you're just saying, this is the possibility and this is the desire I have. And the universe has like a gazillion more ways, you know, a gazillion more possibilities of how to bring that in than any way that we could ever, you know, logically, you know, figure out, logically go to. So I think that that's so, you know, so important to, you know, to plant that seed. Thank you so much for being here today. I loved our conversation. I think it was great. And thank you to everyone that tuned in today on Truth Talk. I always love hearing from my audience. So if you have a comment on the show or would like to introduce yourself, you can definitely send me a note on the contact page of my website at deborahacker.com. And there you can also sign up for my free Living in Your Truth guide. And so make sure to tune in 2 weeks, as I will be sharing the newest energies, learnings, and teachings. In the meantime, I hope you have a great week, and I'll look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio every Wednesday at 3 Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the truth of who you are and who you came here to be. Each week, Deb interviews an inspiring guest and illuminates the truth to a wide range of topics, including love, life, purpose, career, consciousness, and abundance. Welcome to the world of infinite possibilities. For more information about Deb, including how to contact or work with her, visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com. Look forward to seeing you next week for more Truth Talk Radio.